Hebrews chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 1 and go through verse 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he, that is Christ, had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He's obtained a more excellent name than they. When I read, and we're going to look specifically at verse 3 and the phrase, when he had by himself purged our sins. That's what we're going to look at. When Christ had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When I looked at that, the one thing that came to my mind was Christ is God's summation of all that he will accept. Christ is God's summation. He's the total. He's it. He's all in all. He is the only thing that God will accept. And if we're in him, we're accepted. It says in the beloved. He says in the beloved. Let me read you something here. The atonement for sin is made only by Christ, our great high priest. He, himself, and no other bore our sins, and he himself purged them away. By his sacrifice alone, he expiated our sins and accomplished our salvation, and of the people there was none to help or assist him. When our shepherd was smitten by the word of justice, the sheep were scattered, and all his disciples forsook him and fled. There were none to appear for him, nor stand by him, not in the least to lend an assisting hand in the great work in which he was engaged. He is the only mediator between God and men, both of redemption and of intercession. He is the alone Savior. To him only are sinners to look for salvation, and he used to have all the glory. He had no partner in the work of redemption, and he will have no rival in the honor of it. Now, I read that, I could just shut the book and go home, because that is a mouthful and very wonderfully said. But I want to look at some passages of Scripture to show what he's talking about here in Hebrews. He, Christ, by himself purged our sins. He by himself purged our sins. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. This is typified in the Old Testament, many, many types and pictures. This is beautifully done. Leviticus chapter 16. And verse 17, Leviticus 16 and verse 17. Speaking of when the high priest goes into the tabernacle to sacrifice for the sins of the people, it says, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he, that's the high priest, goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. While we know a greater than the high priest has already come. and it says needs not daily to make intercession for himself. He did that once. But this high priest is a picture and a type of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. I like how it says in the first phrase, no man, there shall be no man in the tabernacle with him. Nobody. No man, says our text. The high priest alone. Matter of fact, if you remember anything about the attire of the high priest, they had the skirt and the Urim and Thummim, and they had the ephod and all that. But they had, at the bottom of their robe, they had bells. So when they went in once a year to the holiest of all, you didn't know what was going on, but you could hear them. And if that ever stopped, and apparently they had a rope tied to one of his legs, if he died, they'd pull him off. If you didn't hear those bells, you knew that there was not an atonement made. This is how serious it was. So he went in alone. And our Lord Jesus Christ, no one could go in there. No one. In matter of fact, the Old Testament, it's already fulfilled. When he went in the temple, the curtain was made whole. It was split in two. It's meaning the work is done. It is finished. It is complete. No man shall be in the tabernacle. Now we know that this, we in John, I think chapter 6, no man can come. So we can't even come to Christ. We don't even have the ability to do so. We cannot come. We are not allowed even into the court of God unless we have our great high priest representing us before the Father. That's how sinful and vile we are. Every one of us. We're born in sin. As this glorious high priest is standing before the thrice holy God, he is working all things after the counsel of his own will. In this case, Leviticus would be the atonement. That was his job, is to go in and put the blood where it needed to be, which represent, obviously, is another thing represented as Christ. He was reconciling the sinner, propitiating the sinner, forgiving the sinner, and making peace for the sinner. That is the high priest, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's done. We sing that song, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. He came to save his people from their sins. Not maybe, not partially, not if you'll let him. He went in alone. Went in alone. If you want to turn to Joshua chapter 8, now we know we're going through Joshua, the studies of Joshua, on Wednesday night, and we're going to be here. But this was too good for me to not pass up. I'm just going to just mention a few things. I won't, spoiler alert, as it were, the whole thing. But this is just too good. In Joshua chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at the last verses 30 through the end of the chapter. That's where we will be. But basically, they just got done having the victory over Ai. They just wiped everybody out. And then in verse 30, it says, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord. There he read the book of the law. He made the altar of whole stones, and it says, of which no man hath lifted up any iron. That's important. Then he sacrificed. He read the book of the law. And then the priests were present. Now there's five things. There's five things there, if we look at them. There's five elements of godly worship. Every time we gather together, these elements are here. Ark, the altar, the priest, the sacrifice, and the word of God. Now, when I was a kid, growing up in church, we never brought our Bible. I was raised Methodist. We never brought our Bible to church. And I just, even as a kid, I thought, well, that's kind of odd. But, I'm just no big deal. My mom and dad don't do it. I'm not going to do it. This, as we heard this morning very aptly, this is the record that God has given of his Son. It needs to be around us all the time, in us, through it. take the scroll as the Old Testament when he took it and he ate it and it was bitter to him, but then it was a delight to his honey out of the rock. The Word of God is so important. But who's the believer's ark? Christ. Who's the believer's altar? Christ. Who's the believer's priest? Christ. Who's the believer's sacrifice? Christ. And according to John chapter 1, who is the Word of God? Christ. So, Christ alone, as in our text, he by himself purged our sins. He is all these things to the believer. And I was looking at it, and I wasn't even going to look at this, but I thought, I thought that another beautiful thing is that there was no stone. There's no stone, no iron to be laid on the stone. Well, that's man's works. Don't do it. Don't bring in our denominational, and again, we could be called the Grace Church or Church of Jackson, but that's why I don't have Baptist in the title. We're Baptist, Presbyterian, we're Sovereign Grace Church. Sovereign is who God is, and grace is how he saves. That's why we chose that name. But again, it's not even so much the name, it's what's inside, what's being preached. That's why he says there's no name given among men in heaven whereby we must be saved. That's Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63, and look at verse 5. Verse 4, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury. In my fury, it upheld me. I turn to Isaiah 59. Turn back one page or so. Isaiah 59 and verse 16. This is all about the redemptive work of Christ. He by himself purged our sins and sat down. Verse 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. He, by himself, purged our sins. He, by himself. His own arm, which another passage in the Word says it's not shortened that it cannot save. And there was none to help. Indeed, there's no help from man that we could really ever do to assist his work. I mean, I know that's what works religion is, and that's why it's an abomination in the eyes of God that Christ didn't do it all. Man's got to assist him. Man has to assist him. And as far as denominations, and I've said this many times, there's only two religions. There's the religion of Cain and there's the religion of Abel. That's all there is. Any denomination just fits into one of those two. None to help. We cannot help. Because we in and of ourselves are too sinful for assistance, we're too vile for aid, we're too corrupt for deliverance, we're too blind to rescue, except in and through and by the sweet balm of Gilead, which is another reference to Christ. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27. Let's start in verse 26. Let's start in verse 25. Wherefore he, that is Christ, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who, Christ, needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once. He did once when he offered up himself. He, by himself, purged. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. And that word consecrated is perfected. Perfected. Christ is perfected. Christ is perfection. Hebrews chapter 9. Turn one page over. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 14 and verse 26. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, now that's past tense, eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered, there's that word again, himself, just himself. He could find no other. Isn't that what John said in the Revelations? He looked to see if there's any man worthy to open the book. There's nobody worthy. And he wept. And the angel said, don't weep. For the line of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. It prevailed. Prevailed. That's what he's done for us. He by himself purged our sin. Purged, past tense. He prevailed. Offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Purged. When the altar of stones was erected, as I said before, there was no tool to be laid of man's making. The stench of our works and our worth cannot be included with the altar of God's choosing, and God's chose Christ. The stench of what we are, it cannot be included. And matter of fact, I can't remember the name of the guy, Uriah, I can't remember his name, but the guy that tried to steady the ark, remember when it was being brought back from the Philistines? Who? I knew it was a U, some U there, but I couldn't remember. But he tried to steady the ark, and he got killed. Now, what is that? That shows that God does not need our assistance in anything. This is how holy God, and he's not any less holy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change not. And because of that, therefore, you sons of Jacob, you elect, are not consumed. Because Christ, when God looks at us, he sees the Son. He sees the Son's work for us. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, alone, solitarily, voluntarily, and totally sufficient. May we look only to him, and we'll have everything we ever need. In Christ is our hope, our peace, grace, mercy to help in time of need. It's all, and I've said this before, God has all of his eggs in one basket. You know, we can think we can do that. And if you have a portfolio, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to diversify. God does not do that. He has everything in his Son. Now, I know I shared this the other night because I love it. It was so good. Well, I'll share it again. He sent it to you all email. Turn to me, Isaiah 46. This is just too good. Basically, I sent it to everybody that I thought had I had an email for. Isaiah 46. We need, by God's grace, to look only to him. But I don't know if I'm going to make it tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to endure. I don't know. You know, this country's, it's falling apart. I don't know about all these different things. I don't know either. But look at this. Look at this, Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob. That's his people who he's purged their sins. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. How many I's are in those two verses? That one verse. You're talking about the great I am says this. The great I am says this. What a huge pillow to go to sleep on. What a huge comfort to go to work upon. What a huge blessing when the years come and the eyes get dim and the ears stop listening the way they used to and we can't move around. What a blessing. He says He will bear, He will carry, and deliver. Ultimately, we're going to cross Jordan. We're going to have to face death unless He comes back. But He'll give us dying grace, and then we will be delivered from this present body of sin, this present body of the flesh. So let's close. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. All praise and honor and glory is given to Him in heaven. Revelation 19 verse 1. And after these things, you could say after I realized by God's grace that He purged my sins. After I realized my sins were forgiven. After I realized that I could do nothing to please Him. After I realized that I didn't even know how to pray. After I realized these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So what do I have here for us here today? In Jackson, Missouri, for us who are here, nobody else is, unless there's somebody listening on the phone. If this is what we're doing in heaven, let us do this right now. Let us do this today. People we see, people we meet, people we talk to, let us praise, honor, and glorify Christ. Because He, by Himself, all alone, has done everything God required of sinners. Everything we have is found in Christ. Let's give Him now and in this place, in Jackson, Missouri, give Him all glory. May it be so for each one. Bruce, would you close us, please?